Welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
I'm thankful for what God is doing and how God is moving within this fellowship, within our church, and how He is opening doors and He is providing opportunities for ministry to the community around us. We will find today that our community around us, Tuscaloosa, is much like Jericho back in the Old Testament. We're going to find today that God has given us a plan, and God has provided us His way, not necessarily our way. In fact, most of the time it won't be our way. But God has provided His way for us to accomplish His plan and His purpose for our life. We're blessed here. We're blessed to be children of God. We're blessed that God loves us. We are blessed that God has given us His salvation. And in that blessing also comes responsibility. Let me just say this, that for the Christian and for our life, there can be no victory without a battle. There can be no crown without a conquest. There's got to be a battle in all of our lives that will take place. There will be battles within our church that will take place. But let me also remind you what 1 Samuel 17, verse 47 says. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And as long as we will trust the Lord, and as long as we follow Him, as long as we commit our heart and our life to Him, we're going to find that He goes before us, He fights the battles, and He wins the war. Now, and from the text today, there have been a lot of stories, I guess from the time I was a small child, about the Battle of Jericho. About the children of Israel going around the walls of Jericho, giving the shout at the very end, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, and that the walls fall down. You may remember the old spiritual that Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and then about the walls came tumbling down. Well, let me just tell you something. That's a wonderful song. I've loved that song all my life, but it's not true. Joshua didn't fight the battle of Jericho. God did. Joshua was a participant. He was obedient. He was humble. He was submissive. But God fought the battle. And God won the battle. And God did it through His plan, through His strategy, and through His methods. And I want to say to you that as you face the battles of life around you, you're going to come across the walls of Jericho. Not literally, but the walls that have come up before you in your life. That wall of cancer. That wall of financial problems. That wall of sin that somehow you just can't seem to quite overcome. That wall of drug or that wall of alcohol. That wall of self that many of us put up. That to shut out those who have hurt us. To defend ourselves from pain. You're going to fight battles in your life. The walls are going to be there. And you cannot have the victory unless you have God fighting the battle for you. Now here's the beautiful thing about that. As a child of God, God allows the battles to come up. But God always is willing and always able to go before you and to carry the fight and to win the battle and to win the war and to give you victory. And you find several things within our text. And I guess in one sense, the whole theme of the battle
of the Bible could be warfare. But our text gives us a picture of how God is going to bring victory to those who seek Him. Now, I want you, when you get home today or when you have the opportunity, I would love for you to read the whole sixth chapter of Joshua. I'm only going to read one verse to you this morning. We're going to look at much of it. But most of this story, for most of us, is very familiar anyway. But in the 20th verse of chapter 6 of Joshua, the scripture says this, "When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city." Now that kind of summarizes what God has done. Let me just say from the beginning, the children of Israel have been wandering in the wilderness, in the desert, for 40 years. They have finally received the call of God to go on into the promised land, on into the land of Canaan. They have crossed the Jordan River. They are now in the area of Canaan. And they have a really brilliant strategy in their mind, in their heart, about how they're going to conquer Canaan as God has told them to do that. Really, it's a brilliant strategy. Jericho is just ahead. But what they're looking to do is to go straight in the middle of Canaan, to divide the people of Canaan and the cities of Canaan to the north and to the south. They're going to drive a wedge through the middle of Canaan. That's their plan. That's their strategy to conquer Canaan. And they're following God's guidance, following God's leadership. But Jericho stands before them. Jericho is a walled city. Verse 1 tells us that the Jericho was tightly shut up. Now, that's an understatement. Let me just give you a little bit of the context of that city of Jericho. Jericho had not just one wall around the city. It had two walls. Many of you didn't know that. Each one of those walls were 100 feet plus high. Straight up. There was 15 feet separating the inner wall from the outer wall. And for the people of that day and time, and for methods of warfare in that day and time, Jericho was considered to be impregnable. It was impossible to get through the walls and take the city. If you by some chance were able to get through the first wall, then you had only 15 feet before you came to the second wall, and you had to try to find a way to get through it. It was considered to be impossible to take the city by storming the walls. What the people of Israel, what Joshua and all of his fellow soldiers had decided, his leaders had decided, was that the only way to take Jericho was to lay siege to the city. They would try to starve them out. They would not let anybody come in or anybody leave. They were going to lay siege to the city, and over a period of years, they would finally conquer Jericho. God had another plan. God had another plan. But in this story, you see three things. You see, first of all, the siege. They were going to go in and siege the city. And God came to them, and God says, "No, I have another plan for you." They saw what was ahead of them. They saw it was formidable. They didn't know what God had in mind, but in their best military strategy, this is the way they saw. Let me tell you something. As you face the walls that you are coming up against, you may think that the only way to overcome that is to lay siege. A lot of churches, and I want you to listen to me now, a lot of churches go into a community where God places them, and the community and the church pretty much will lay a siege. They'll come in and they'll establish the building. They'll be here, And then they'll wait on the people to come. That sound familiar? They'll try their little programs and they'll try the other things, try to entice the people to come. Let me tell you, that is not God's plan. It has never been God's plan. It will never be God's plan. God's plan is not for us to sit in the church and try to just welcome people to come to us. The Bible tells us we're to go out into the highways and to the hedges and compel them to come. By our heart, by letting God be seen through us, by our praise to God, by our reaching out to the community, going out into the community and compelling them to come in. You see, so often, like Joshua and the children of Israel, we have thought, well, I'll take the siege route. Why? In all honesty, because it's the one of least effort. It's the one that requires the least sacrifice. It's the one that satisfies self rather than reaching out to the community. I've heard people say, the church is here. If they want to come, let them come. That's not God's plan. The siege will never work for the child of God. As we face the walls of the community around us, and you need to know that a community out here, where they are, with their hurts, with their pain, having seen hypocrisy outside of their city, outside of their community, they built a wall up. And they need God using you and using me to tear down the walls and connect with them and love them in Jesus. And that's what we see here, a siege. And God said, no, the siege takes too long. People will die and go to hell while we sit and wait. No, the siege is not the way. The answer is to follow God's plan. To follow God's plan. Now let's look at God's plan. You know about the siege. Let's look at the strategy. That's number two. Look at the strategy. Look at what God's plan is. Now I can just see Joshua and his generals and his counselors of war as they sit at their conference table, and as they look at this walled, double-walled city of Jericho, and as they make their military strategy. And the only answer they can come up with, we can't climb the walls. They're over 100 feet tall. They have guards and they have soldiers at both the inner wall and the outer wall. Even if we should break through somehow through the gate of the first wall, the outer wall, we're not going to be able to get into that inner wall. So they make their strategy. And God steps in and God says, wait a minute. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to gather the people together. I want you to send a contingent of your soldiers in the front. Behind the soldiers, I want you to have the priest. And the priests are to carry the ram's horn, not the silver battle horn. And I'll explain that in a moment. And behind the priest, I want you to carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence and the power of God. Behind the Ark of the Covenant, I want you to put all the people. And then bringing up the rear, behind the people of Israel, I want you to have the rear guard, or another contingent, the rest of the soldiers, as a rear guard. And I want you, God just line them up for them, said, then I want you to go out and walk around the city, around the outside of the walls of the city. And I want you to be totally silent. Interesting. Walk around it one time that first day. Probably on a Sunday. Then I want you to walk around it one time on Monday. Everybody silent. No one says anything. No horns blowed. No military orders given. You just, no children talking. You just walk around the city. On Tuesday, you do the same thing one time. On Wednesday, the same thing one time. On Thursday, the same thing one time. On Friday, what? The same thing one time. But then on Saturday, what's Saturday? The Sabbath. On the Sabbath, I want you to walk around that city 7 times. And when you finish that 7th lap, then I want you to blow the ram's horn. And then for the people to give a loud shout. And then God said, you just do it. He didn't tell them right then what the result would be. Now why the ram's horn and not the silver horn? The silver horn, was the normal battle horn. It was a trumpet that was used in battle. It was the horn that gave directions for the soldiers and for the armies, and whether to charge or to stand their ground or to retreat, whether to form battle lines, whether to go into the flanks, whether to encircle the city. The battle horns, the silver horns, gave directions for fighting the battle. The ram's horns were only used for worship. The ram's horn were only used to give worship and praise to God. And the shout of the people was not a shout of a battle cry. It was not some rebel yell. It was not a holler to charge. The shout of the people was a shout of praise to God. Now, what was the purpose of that? The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Now, while we're looking at the strategy for just a moment, I want you to think about the people in Jericho up on the walls. Here they are up there at their weapons. They probably had some hot water, boiling water, maybe some hot oil, ready when the Israelites attacked. They probably saw them marching around there. They had heard 40 years before from the Rahab the prostitute, if you remember, when the spies came in. And they were scared to death then, but they had 40 years, listen to me, they'd had 40 years to get ready for the people of Israel to come. Really, they'd had 40 years to repent and to trust God. But think about these people. I imagine there was anxiety and fear when they first saw the armies of the Israelites. They got alert. They manned the walls. They got as ready as they could get. Closed the gates. Barred the gates. And then they just saw the people in that procession go around the city one time and then back off. Don't you imagine that by the second or third day that they began to think, what in the world are these folks think they're doing? What are they doing? Maybe they began to mock the people of Israel. Hey, y'all can't find your way in here? What are y'all doing? Y'all having a good stroll out there? I guess you're finding out you can't get in here.
They began to ridicule them. Overconfident. Thinking, we've got this. They cannot hurt us. So their strategy was to just wait until the people decided whatever they're going to decide and got through walking around. Third, I want you to notice the success. The Bible tells us that on that seventh day, when they finished that seventh lap, by that time I'd have been too tired to blow the horn if I'd have been the priest. But they blew the horn, following obediently what God was asking them to do. Stepping out by faith and depending on God. Now remember those three things. Obedience, faith, and dependence on God. That's where the success came. They believed God. God said, you do it this way. Joshua and the generals, they probably thought to themselves, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. But God said, do it. So we're going to, by faith, we're going to trust God. And we are going to be obedient. And we're going to do it just like God tells us to do it. We're not going to try to argue with God. We're not going to try to change His mind. We're not going to try to give Him our ideas or our military expertise. We're just going to be obedient to God. And we're going to depend on Him. The Bible tells us that when the people shouted after the trumpets were blown, and they shouted their praise to God, that the walls fell flat. Now here's what that means. The walls did not tumble out. They did not tumble in. The walls fell flat into the ground. Both walls. Now we know that because you can go to Jericho right now. And by the way, there have been better than 24 cities built on top of that mound that's called Jericho. But you can go to that to Jericho now, and they have an excavation where you can go down and you can see where the walls, just whole walls, just sunk into the ground, even with the top of the ground. Only God could do that. And those walls are there now. They're just in the ground. Over 100 feet tall, let me remind you. Here's what happened. The people of Israel, they charged into the city. They did not even have to worry about stumbling over a rock. It was flat. They didn't have to climb over any boulders. It was flat. And they took the city. Look at verse 21 of chapter 6. And you'll see something very important there. They devoted the city to the Lord. They devoted the city to the Lord. God is the one who had brought the victory. God is the one who had fought the battle. God is the one who had given them the success. And Jericho, the linchpin, the key city upon which all of Canaan stood, it fell because God fulfilled His plan so that all the of Canaan could be taken. Now the Bible tells us that God told the people of Israel to go in there and destroy every living thing. Any valuables that they found were to be put into the treasury of the Lord because that God had won the victory and God had fought the battle. Amen. And the people went in and they did that.
You're going to find in the next chapter there was one old fellow, though, by the name of Achan. He decided to take some of that for himself and brought a defeat upon himself and the people until God handled that and justice was served. Now, why would God say, go in there and utterly destroy the city, kill every living thing, and burn the city? Why would God do that? Because God had already proclaimed judgment. You know what the word Jericho actually means? Have you ever found out what it means? What the word means? It means moon city. Jericho was the religious center of the Canaanite false gods. They worshiped a false god in worshiping the moon. But they were known throughout all of Canaan as the religious center of that whole area. They were a very vile, brutal, sinful people. I can't put it any stronger than that. They sacrificed their own children to the moon god. God had to destroy that city in order to spare and deliver the children of Israel. God told them, destroy the city. God's judgment is going to be fulfilled. Fortunately, His mercy is prevalent in the midst of the judgment. Rahab and all of her family. Do you remember what she was told to do 40 years earlier? Now, that's interesting. She was to take a strip of red cloth or a strip of red string or rope, and she was to tie it outside the house, outside the door of the house. Drape it over there. A red rope or a red string representing the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone in that house, her family, the Bible tells us, she got her parents and her family, everyone in that house was spared. They were able to live. God's mercy in the midst of judgment. And in case you're wondering, Rahab is an ancestor of David. David was an ancestor of who? Jesus. God's mercy was shown upon Rahab. God's mercy is shown upon all who will repent and look to Jesus. Salvation is available to all who will come to Him. Now let me bring this home to you, because I think it's so important for us here at Ridgecrest. As we go out from this building today, there are walls that are placed up. Walls of pain, of hurt, of sinfulness. There's walls that people have put up because they look at us. And some look upon this place as a white man's place. No, it's not. It's God's place. And we need to tear down the walls so people can see Jesus. So the Rahabs out in the community can come to know Jesus as Lord of their life, can experience His mercy, so that the children out in our community will no longer fall victim to the drugs and the sin and the child abuse.
But they can find mercy and find peace and find life in Jesus. God judges sin. But folks, we are the instruments that goes out and shows God's mercy so that these people in our community can escape the judgment by finding mercy through the grace of God. And let me say this. I think one of the wisest and one of the greatest things that is going to be taking place through this church in the next 2 to 3 weeks is going to be on April the 8th when we, instead of having our Easter egg hunt here on the churchyard, we're going into this apartment complex over here behind Lifeway. And we're going to have the Easter egg hunt right in the middle of that community. That was Brad's idea. Well, I'll take that back. Brad came up with it, but God's idea. God wants us to break down the walls. Allow Him to do the work, to carry the battle, as we faithfully, obediently, with faith and depending on God, as we reach out in obedience to Him and see God win the victory. To all glory, all praise, all glory goes to our God. All praise be to our God. All praise be to our God. Now, folks, God's at work. And God's wanting to win a great victory right here in Tuscaloosa. And He wants to use you. If you're willing to step out by faith, if you're willing to be obedient to what He says, and if you're willing to depend upon Him, the victory is yours. You'll notice in verse 2 of chapter 6, and I'm going to close with this, but in verse 2 of chapter 6, God told Joshua and the people of Israel, I have already given you Jericho. Before they had ever even gone and marched around the city, God told them, I've already given you the city. Listen to me. God has already given Tuscaloosa. God has already given you the community. It's a matter of you. By faith, in obedience, depending on God, to go and do what He's calling you to do. That means putting self aside. That means surrender to God and His will in your life. That means committing your heart and your life anew to serving Jesus. And that's what I'm calling you to this morning. As we stand together, the altar is open. You come. You come.
This message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc-tuscaloosa.com. Have a great day, and God bless.